Okay, think back to last summer with me for a minute. One of the season's biggest hits was decades old. I'm talking about Kate Bush's Running Up That Hill. And this summer, Luke Combs has a cover of a song that came out in 1988. And the cover is now dominating the country music charts. Fast Car by Tracy Chapman.
You got a fast car. Now I got a plan to get us out of here. Been working at the convenience store.
I love that song. It's starting to sound like a trend, you know? Songs from the mid to late 80s making a comeback. In fact, the Barbie movie just joined in on the fun by making a hit out of the Indigo Girls' 1989 song, Closer to Five.
I'm trying to tell you something about my life.
Our own Stephen Thompson from NPR Music just happened to be a music-obsessed teenager in the 1980s. You must have been the only one, Stephen. So he is here with us now to suggest more songs that he thinks are going to be the next big thing 30 to 40 years later. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Elsa.
Okay, so before you play us some songs, and we're going to have you suggest a few artists who might want to cover them, can you just talk to me about why you think the 80s are having such a moment now?
Well, I think one thing is if you heard those clips of those songs, those are all great songs.
Yeah.
They are among my favorite songs of the 80s, and the culture is nothing if not super serving the interests of 51-year-old white men.
That is true.
And so I think that's part of it. I think some of it is nostalgia, some of it is the extreme sturdiness of the songs, but I also think you have this phenomenon where you have streaming algorithms that are compelling a lot of people to re-listen to music. You have needle drops in movies and on TV shows that are resuscitating a lot of these songs.
Yeah.
So songs have somehow developed a longer shelf life than a lot of other forms of entertainment. You know, a big hit movie will drop out of theaters in the span of a few weeks, maybe a couple months, but pop songs just keep grinding and grinding and never really go away.
Totally. Okay, so for all the 80s songs out there that have not yet been covered or have not made it huge as covers, give us your first pick at this moment. Like, give me the song that you think people should rediscover.
All right, Elsa, we are changing history because we are going to will these into existence.
Oh, I love this power.
we have a platform to make this happen. So Terrence Trent D'Arby had a huge hit in 1987 with his first album. Let's hear a little bit of the first single from that record. It's called If You Let Me Stay.
If you let me stay, I'll say what I should have said. If you let me stay, I should
have said. Oh, yeah. Okay, talk to me more about Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Okay, so Terrence Trent D'Arby had a couple of really, really, really big hits in 87, 88. Songs like Wishing Well and Sign Your Name were really, really big. If You Let Me Stay was the first single. And to me, this song really gives you a sense of the ties in his music that lead back to classic soul, as well as to influences like Michael Jackson and Prince. And Terrence Trent D'Arby, you know, he put out this first record. It was called Introducing the Hard Line, according to Terrence Trent D'Arby. And it was a big, big hit. He seemed like the next big thing. And then his career just ground to a halt. Nobody really clicked with the albums that followed. He released like a string of records. He changed his name to Sananda Maitreya and then released a bunch more albums that very few people heard. And to me, I think that first Terrence Trent D'Arby record deserves revisiting because it's fantastic.
Okay, let's resuscitate Terrence Trent D'Arby. Who do you think is a contemporary artist that should cover If You Let Me Stay?
Well, The Weeknd has not been shy about being influenced by, among others, Prince and Michael Jackson. I think he'd really click with this material. It's a flashy vocal showcase that can make The Weeknd look good. And I love the idea of him helping bring people back around to this record, The Weeknd. I know you're listening. Make it happen.
All right. Give me your next 80s revival.
All right, this is The Dream Academy, a British band with one of my favorite songs of the 80s, Life in a Northern Town.
Oh, I love this song! Yes!
Life in a Northern Town.
Part of what I love about this song is it's like three decades of nostalgia in one. It's a song about nostalgia for the 60s and the 70s. It's a tribute in part to Nick Drake. You can associate it with the 80s because it's from the 80s, but it is really timeless and so, so beautiful. And I have the perfect artist to cover it.
Okay, who is the perfect artist to cover it?
The perfect artist to cover it is Boy Genius, which is the supergroup of Phoebe Bridgers, Lucy Dacus, and Julian Baker. I think they're playful enough to try it, serious enough to make it stunning. I do not have much power over the universe, Elsa, but I think I have just enough power to at least compel them to consider covering this perfect, perfect song.
I mean, you are a 51-year-old white guy, so you have some amount of power. All right, so I understand next up is an artist no one has forgotten, and a song that tons and tons of people remember.
Well, let's just hit the song. It's Nasty by Janet Jackson.
Yes! Oh my God, my seventh grade self is dancing right now in this studio.
This song rules.
It totally does rule. I cannot stop dancing. I'm serious. Okay, talk to me.
Okay, so no one has forgotten Janet Jackson, but I do think we are due for a true Janazance. One of the most successful and influential artists of the 80s and the 90s, but her career was derailed by the whole dumb wardrobe malfunction thing at the Super Bowl in 2004, which was, among other things, not her fault.
Exactly.
Blame Justin Timberlake.
Exactly.
And you still don't hear Janet Jackson's songs on the radio as much as you do with many of her contemporaries. It is time to end that once and for all. Nasty is really one of my favorites. It's so beloved and so fun and so indelible.
I mean, it's one of my favorites too, but seriously, Stephen, who can cover a Janet Jackson song and not be immediately disappointing? Like, there's a lot to live up to here.
I'm going with Lizzo.
Oh.
Nasty has a propulsive quality to it that I think suits her sound really nicely. She could tweak that Miss Jackson if you're nasty line to her liking in a really clever way because she's got the wit and the ferocity to just kill it. And I bet she would be down to help make the Janazance happen.
Janazance. All right, Lizzo, it's up to you. I can hear it. I can hear it, Stephen. All right, so we have time for one more. And I understand that you've brought us a pretty timely pick, but for some sad reasons.
Yeah, it is sad. Sinead O'Connor died last week at 56, and I've been revisiting her early work from her very first album. The song Mandinka, to me, is just one of the best songs of the 80s. Mm. If you love Running Up That Hill, I think you'd love this. Let's go out on Sinead O'Connor.
Stephen, I loved this. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Elsa.
Stephen Thompson will have more suggested 80s revivals in the NPR Music newsletter this weekend. And to subscribe to that, visit npr.org/musicnewsletter. You're awesome, Stephen.
Thank you, Elsa. You're awesome.